Turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Joshua, chapter 24. Once again, I want to thank you for being here this morning. And I know the Lord will bless you for your effort in being here. And the Lord has blessings and promises that He wants to give His people. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe if you come and wanting a blessing from the Lord, then you'll receive that blessing. But if you will, in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, we're going to be looking at some things here, some choices that Joshua had made and as a servant, and also the same thing is for us. We're all servants to the Lord Jesus. And a servant is an individual that will go out and serve the Lord and do what the Lord has asked them to do, where the Lord has spoken to their heart. But here in Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 13, and it says right here, it says, "And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyard and olive yards, which ye planted not do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which were your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from those great signs in our sight, and preserve us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through wisdom we passed." I mean, through whom we passed. "And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwell in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God." And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgression nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt, and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, Nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses against yourselves, that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak tree that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said, All the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord, which he hath spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the reading of thy word. And Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, that we do have your precious word that we can read. And Father, that you can speak to us as we do read it, Father. And Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that left heaven and came and was born through a virgin lady, which is Mary. And Father, not only that, that was not the end of it. But Father, he had to go all the way to the cross. And Father, where he hung between heaven and earth, and his individuals, the followers, and his family, Lord, looked upon him that day while he was hanging on the tree. And he spoke and he said, John, take care of our mother. Take care of Mary. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, not only did John take care of her, and Father, we know, Lord Jesus, that you take care of us also today. And Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you for the good reports from some of the people. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, right now, Lord, that you would go and speak to the people's hearts. They're wanting to change this working schedule to where, Father, that it looks like that what they're trying to do is just trying to get everybody out of the house of the Lord. We know, Father, that that's of the devil. Now, Lord, we just ask God you go with us. Help us, Father, that we may look to thee. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Here in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, we've seen where the Lord God he's basically teaching the people, and he's also teaching Joshua that, yes, Joshua, he has to make a choice. We have to make the same choices, not only as Joshua made, but we also have got to keep the promises that we make unto God. The servant's choice. We see in Luke chapter 16 and verse 13, it says, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. In other words, what he's saying is right, he said, you cannot serve God in this world at the same time. Mammon in Greek is talking, is speaking about wealth, is speaking about money, is speaking about the things of the world. That what the world and what the devil is trying his very best to offer us. And sometimes we don't watch it, we'll heed and we'll get caught up in his way of thinking. We'll get caught up in what he is saying because we think it will come from the Lord. Because of what he says and the way it's said to us. You know, I remember a police officer there in Martinsville, Virginia. And it's been some years back. It was when they passed the lottery, and where people was going out and buying the tickets, and they was going out and buying lottery tickets for $1. Now, you know, what people will say, well, you know, it's, you know, ain't no harm in that. Every dollar that we put in to the lottery system, or any dollar that we put in for the devil, is taken away from the Lord and is taken away from our own family. And we need not to do that. We need not to do that, but I can remember that police officer that he went and he was going to church. He was going to that it's a large church up there on 58, right there before you get into Barnesville. It's on the right. Moriah Baptist Church, I believe it is. I think it's the name. I don't know. But he was going there. And that's where he went to church. That's where he taught the Sunday school class. That is where he served the Lord. So when the lottery system come out, he just says, I'm going to go and buy a ticket. And when I buy that ticket, then I'm going to bring that ticket back and I'm going to show the Sunday school class the ticket. And I'm going to tell them how much it cost me. I says, but on the ticket, it also gives you the odds, the chance of winning. And what the ticket was for $1 million. But he just bought the ticket just to bring back to his class. And to show them. Because some of them had never seen a ticket before, but he wanted to show it to them. And he said, this right here, this ticket right here is of the devil. And the devil, he's using the tickets today to get people caught up in his warfare, get caught up in his trickery and everything. Well, I don't know. A couple weeks later, they had a drawing on the ticket. One individual won the ticket, won on that drawing. You know who it was? That police officer. That police officer won $1 million and he took it out
in cash, and I don't know how many thousands of dollars, up in the hundreds of thousands of dollars that he got. But he come back to his Sunday school class, and he told his Sunday school class, he says, "Now, I did buy that ticket, but I bought it with the, and you know that I can present it to you and let you see what this ticket can do for us." And he says, "It's not going to do nothing for us. Only thing it's going to do is just help the devil in his cause." But he said this week, they had a drawing. And when they called like the numbers on channel 13, my wife come in there and she says, "Honey, you're not going to believe what I just heard." He said, "What's that?" He said, "You know, you just bought a lottery ticket here a couple weeks ago, and you just bought it just to show the people what the lottery ticket was all about and what it says on there, and what your chances are in winning." He said, "But you got every number right." And there was not but one individual that was going to receive the money. And he says, "It's no way. Because that's not the reason I bought it. I did not buy it to win $1 million. I just bought it to where I could show the people in the Sunday school class what the ticket looks like. And some of the numbers it's on now. And what you have to do." He says, I told him what the odds was of one individual winning. Then the odds of two individuals. And then the odds of three individuals winning. And he says, as you got down to one individual, the odds was way up there. And you say that I got them all right? She says, "Yes, you did." So he went back to church. And before he went to a Sunday school class, he saw the pastor and he asked the pastor, I need to see you in the office. I got something I need to bring to you. And he brought it before the pastor and what he had done by buying that one lottery ticket just to show the people in his class what it was all about. He said, "But behold," he said, "this past week they drew the numbers. And I just want to ask you, Pastor, what can I do with that money? I like to give some to the Sunday school class. I like to be able to help the church." He says, "What do you mean? What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, I won it." He said, "I did not play it to win it. I played it to show the people in the Sunday school class what it was all about." And he says, "What I want to do, and I know that you've preached against it, but you know, that dollar bill that I bought that ticket with, it said the chances of me winning was, the odds was way up there. I know that. But the devil
He has so much that of each one of us is what we give him every week, and we don't think anything about it. We will give when we go to the grocery store. We'll give to him when we go to the Walmart or somewhere like that. We give to the devil and we don't even realize it. But he says, what I want to do, if you don't mind, I would love to give the church $500,000. Then I want to give my Sunday school class. I want to give my Sunday school class some money there. I want to give it to them to where they can go out and reach out and help other people that needs help. You know what the pastor said to him? He says, no, sir, not in this church. Not in this church. He's a well, pastor. You know, the devil, look at what he's doing with the money that we receive. Look at the money that he takes from me every week in taxes and other things. Why can't I take some of the money that I've got from him and use it for God's work? The pastor says, well, says you can go to another, you can give that to other church if you want to, but not this church. I will not take it. Since then, I have heard the church, they're not doing all that great. At one time, the church was really doing good. They was all the time having visitors come in, and they was having people saved. Why? Because they was able to reach out. But people's not coming out no more, so naturally when people don't come out, your finances, they're still there, but you don't have the funds to meet the need. And I'm saying all of this for one reason. Joshua, right here in the book of Joshua, says, in verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which are your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwelled. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. We are supposed to put God number one. God is number one. God is before the family. God is even before the church. Family is number two. Family comes before the church. We don't want to kind of look at it that way, but that's the truth. Because family was created. Family was ordained before the church was. And then over in the book of Acts is when the church came about. And the church is come about, and what he's speaking about is for the believer. We are the church. We, I am the church. You are the church. We are the church. But when we gather here in God's house, we become the body of Christ. Why? Because we've gathered together under one roof. We've gathered together to where we can grow, to where we can go about doing what God has asked us to do. If somebody happened to come into the church and they just visiting, and they write a $10,000 check, put it in an offering plate, that's a blessing, right? But do we know where that any of that money come from? No, we don't. Even when we get paid, even when I get paid once a month in my Social Security, I don't know exactly where that money come from. Oh yes, I paid it in. But where did it come from? Where did the appearance of that dollar bill come from? Do I know? No. Do I care? I should. I should, to the point that I said, God, I don't need it. You gonna take care of me? We don't know where it come from. Even when we go to Walmart, or when we go to the grocery store or drugstore, and when we pay for the medicine, or when we pay for the groceries, or pay for something, and then the individual gives us change back, do we know where that change has come from? No. Do we know what hands the change come out of? No. We don't know. It could have come from somebody where they go out on the payday. When they get paid, they go out and they cash a check and everything. Then they go out here and they'll drink. Then they'll go home and then they'll maybe curse the family out, or beat the family, beat the wife, and beat the children. We don't know. We do not know where the money comes from. So if somebody comes in and says, well, Pastor says, I've won some money in playing the lottery, and I've had so many churches now, he's told me, but they wouldn't take it. Says, but will you take it? Would you take it and use it for God's work? I says, yes, I will. I'll take it and I'll use it for God's work. I'll use it to go out here and support more missionaries. I'll go out here and help individuals' families that can't help themselves. We need to get away from all the political correctness. And who do we get that from? We get that from nobody but the politicians, the political correctness. Being politically correct is not in here. Being faithful, faithfully correct, is in here. We must go to God and we must ask the Lord, what will you have me to do with what I've just received?
And if the Lord plain to speaks to you and says, well, you don't really need it. Well, Lord, I was going to give it to the church. Well, you know, the church really don't need it. Who are we going to obey? Are we going to go on and do what we want to do? No. We must obey the voice of the Lord. That was his servant's choice. And we all have choices. Some choices is not the right choice. Some choices that we make are choices that will hurt our testimony. Some choices that we make and we allow to happen can ruin the testimony of the church. We should never be around anybody long enough. If they start cutting down Faith Baptist Church, if they start cutting down a member of the church, if they start cutting down the people of the church that comes in, then we don't need to be around them no more. We don't need to be around them. What we need to do, we need to get back home or get back in a car. And we need to be acting, we need to be praying that God would allow the Holy Spirit to get a hold of their heart. People's heart today is so hard-hearted and so hardened that nobody can ever be able to pierce it with anything. They won't even cry. They won't even shed a tear for nobody. Well, I'm going to tell you what. You can take an individual. You can take a gentleman who's 6'6" and weighs 275 or 300 pounds. But if he will not shed a tear over his family and over his own life, I myself, this is me now. It's not nobody else, this is me. This is what I think of the individual. The individual is nothing but a wimp. And you can just about prove it. You can take his family and you can take that little small child that he had. That little small child can get a mischief and act up in church, act up out in public. When they're eating, can act up. And somebody else could be over eating with them or whatever, or in church. Oh, why do you let a child just do any way they want to in a church? I mean, every time you turn around, they just in a church, when the preacher's up there preaching, they're out and they're running, they're doing this and they're doing that, they're hollering and everything. And here they are, 4, 5, 6 years old, and says that, you know, they ought to be able to learn something by now. You know what they say? Here's a man 6'6", weighs between 275, 300 pounds. They say, I can't do nothing with him. I can't do nothing with him. You can't. Why can't you? You don't want to do nothing. You don't want to raise them up. You don't want to correct them.
But we make all kinds of choices today. But one choice that we need to make, and the choice is we need to listen. We need to
tune our hearing aid in. We need to tune it in where that small, still voice will come down from heaven, come all of this way, come through the skies, the clouds, come through all the noise and everything. All the noise that's here in the church, and all the noise that's out here that we come in contact with each and every day. We need to have our ear tuned into God. And if we have it tuned into God, we are doing what God's asked us to do. How are we going to ever grow? And how are we going to ever make the right choices if we don't hear God? You say, preacher, you mean you honestly say that you can hear God? I said, I can honestly tell you that I can hear that small, still voice. He don't have to speak too loud. He don't have to speak too low. He speaks in the right tone. That our hearts, we hear him. You know, I'm gonna close with this one. A sovereign choice. You know, God, he's a sovereign God. He is someone that people need to fear. They don't fear him no more. How many people that you know of that today that fear God? I fear God so much that I would not forsake his house. I would not forsake in coming together with you that we can all be in one body, the body of Christ. We can be united together. We can be in that one accord. And I'm not talking about the vehicle accord, I hear. I'm not talking about that vehicle that's got two doors. I'm talking about the one accord. And the one accord is being connected with God. Because you know, I hear all the time that on the TV, yes, Honda, they got the accord. But you hear on TV sometimes that they'll have a recall. They'll have a recall. Why? Because if something's wrong with a vehicle. I've never heard God have a recall on one that he saved. I never have. Oh, I know that we don't serve him perfectly. We make mistakes. We have all sinned. I've sinned this morning. Why? Because God's word says I have. If something that I thought about, if I thought some negative thought about somebody that where the vehicles in front of me or whatever, or even a negative thought in my mind that where I should have been driving the vehicle, but now my wife is driving. You know, that's a sin. Anything that's not giving God praise and God glory and God honor is a sin. It's a sin. Thank God for the choices. Thank God for the free will. I thank God for each and every one of you. I really do. Every one of you, I thank God for you. And my prayer is, it's nothing that I would not do for anybody in here. If I got it, if you need it, you can get it. It's not mine. It's not mine. It's His. Just like I'll bring it up tonight. But I thank God that He's given us that choice. Well, we cannot serve God and serve mammon. We can't serve God and serve that dollar bill. We cannot serve God and serve our job. We cannot serve God and serve something else. It's not the way it is. We either serve God and then allow God to work the problems out that's in our lives. And He will work them out. He will work them out for His good. He will work them out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because see, just like Brother Bill brought up this morning, over there in Romans chapter 8, talking about predestination. You know, people take that word, that they just take it and they say, predestination. God says that I'm predestined for heaven. It ain't nothing I can do about it. Oh, wait a minute. We have to go all the way back before Adam. Matter of fact, we have to go back all the way to the first chapter. The first several verses there. That's when God had it in His forefront. And He had it in His mind that He needed to have somebody else there with Him. Yes, He had His Son there. But He wanted somebody else the way He could talk to Him. Where He could have fellowship with Him. That's the reason that we go out. That's the reason we visit. That's the reason we call people. That's the reason we try to get people in church. Because why? Because we want to have communication with them. But we want to have the right communication with them. But see, predestination was right there on the very first. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. But God wanted someone to thank Him for everything that He's done. Predestination was all the way up till He created man. Till He took man, until He took that dirt from the earth. Had it in His hand. And He breathed into that. And He blew upon it. And He created man. Then after He created man, what did He do? He breathed into man life. Into his nostril life. As soon as He made man, Then that's when predestination was forgot about. Because from that point on, there's going to be a choice. He knew that man was going to have a choice. He knew that Adam was going to have a choice. He knew that Eve was going to make a choice. Well, without a choice, what's next? If we don't have to make choices, what's next? If we don't have to make a choice between heaven and hell, what's next? Heaven? Or is it hell? It's what we have in our heart. And I believe that as soon as an individual steps out from a pew, right then, I believe. So you may not believe it is, but this is what the Lord has comforted me with. Is that that individual is saved. When he comes to the altar, and when he prays, he was saved. Why did he step out? He didn't step out and he didn't reject the Holy Ghost. He didn't reject God. And he sure did not reject his Son. He stepped out by faith and believing in what he heard. Believing in what he heard. When they step out, they make the right choice. Make the right choice. And then on top of that, you won't have to worry about them coming to church. You won't have to worry about them being faithful to God. You won't have to worry about them. Are they reading the Word of God? Are they praying? Are they talking to God? You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about that for them. But what we need to do, what we need to worry about, is that are we willing to make the next step and just call them and say, well, you know, just thank you for coming to church. I know the Lord blessed you today and the Lord saved you, right? Yeah, sure did. What are we supposed to do? We're not supposed to set aside. We're not supposed to say, well, I know the Lord's blessed today and everything, and the Lord saved someone today. And then we'll get out, we'll go on home, and first thing that we think about, we'll start thinking about. I wonder how long they're going to last. As soon as we think that, as soon as we say that, it's nothing else we can do. We can't help them no more. Because we've already got the wrong spirit about it. We need to have the right spirit. We need to have God that we're willing to go call them first part of the week or sometime that week or something and say, well, would you like to go and get a cup of coffee, or would you like to go and maybe get a burger or something like that, which I can't eat burgers no more. You know, I mean, I can take you out. I mean, y'all can eat them. But we need to be Christ-like because we've made the choice. We've made the right choice. And that right choice is serving God.
Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. We thank you for what, Father, that we've seen and what you've given us this morning, Father. Lord, that we can make the right choices. And God, that we can feel like, Father, that it's nothing that we cannot do as long as you is in control of our lives. And Father, as you step out, and Father, as you step out, as you go before us, Lord, help us that we may follow you. Help us, Father, never to get ahead of you. Help us, Father, that we do not get ahead of you or even beside you, that we must stay behind where we can stay close to you. And Father, we ask, Lord, now that you'd be with each one of the ones that come out today. Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you will give them a good afternoon, Father, good rest. Lord, we just pray, Father, that they will be back here tonight. And Father, we just know, God, that you have something afresh and new for each one of us tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.